Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, and I'm here with Dr. Hayes and Dr. Rice today as hosts. We warmly welcome you to the show and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is Wednesday, March 12, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments and questions because then you are able to actively strengthen and deepen your process. So now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you this morning?
Quite well. I think that went off without a hitch. What's happening?
How did the prison go yesterday?
Oh, awesome. It was amazing to see the shifts in people and the stories that they were sharing. It's really becoming more interactive and getting through the lessons is a challenge because there's just so much that people want to share and process. And so it's really happening. I hope Rex is on the show in a little bit and maybe he can share from his perspective some of the breakthroughs.
It's amazing to see the shifts that happen in people's minds, and in this case, of course, some of the toughest, most hardened criminals literally in the country, and where they move to when they're reminded that they're humans. It's just, you know, it's amazing, and to me, to recognize that non-human life, the existence of what we call a body without the activating energetic supply called love. And, of course, for anyone who's listening, our basic definition of love is hold a newborn child, you know what it is. And whenever that active presence of love is not there, then the crazy things that people do and that happen are just unbelievable. And when you really start reminding people who they are and giving them the tools to shift back to that, it's exciting to watch how it happens, isn't it?
It is. Actually, there was one gentleman in his first group who right off the bat, before we even started, urgently wanted to share a story that he became aware of from another one of the inmates who isn't currently in the class. However, this gentleman was part of the summer program for the Why Is This Happening to Me Again series. And as the story goes, he was charged with a murder during a cocaine blackout. And although he isn't sure whether he did or not, he pled guilty and there was enough evidence to send him away. And so he learned the forgiveness tools and began transferring or begin practicing, and he had asked for a transfer to get closer to his family, and it had been denied and denied. And so I guess what happened is recently he made another attempt, and they granted him his transfer, and so he was able to move. And it was actually cold water, and he moved closer to his family, but in that whole process, he was contacted by this program called the Innocence Project. And basically, if new evidence comes, it appears that the prosecutor had suppressed some DNA evidence that was at the crime scene as well. And so they are reopening his case, and there looks like there's a strong possibility that he may not be guilty as charged. And so the prisoner who shared the story was just like in awe and amazement sharing, and how profound it was for him personally. And, you know, can you believe this? Can you believe this? Like, it's just incredible and unthinkable. And it goes right back to the practice of the tools and holding that space of love for himself and others.
Absolutely. You mentioned cold water. We did a 6-week series in cold water prison back about 26 or 27 years ago, and there was a woman there who was in for life, and she was pregnant when she went into the prison 6 years earlier, gave birth to a child in prison, and her grandparents took the child, and the grandparents were about 3 hours away, so she'd seen her child, you know, once or twice in 6 years, and she had applied. She was in a medium security facility at Coldwater. And she'd applied and applied and applied and compassionate basis and such. And it's like, and they were just real blunt with her. Lady, you murdered your husband. Now, it was in circumstances where she was being attacked, so there's a lot of questions there. But in any event, they said, lady, you murdered your husband. You're never going to get out of here. And she started doing worksheets around that. On the first week, we did the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. On the 6th week, she came in with her transfer papers to a minimum security facility in the town where her parents were with her child. And she's since gotten out of prison, in school, after going through the Why work and the forgiveness process. She started to study and became a social worker and now is working with people in prison. And, you know, it's just amazing to watch the turnarounds. And of course, in those dire circumstances, when people do their work and get a turnout, it's pretty cool. But when you watch somebody in the family where, you know, every other word to the spouse or the child or to themselves in the mirror is one of hostility or fear, and you start to see that turnaround, it's pretty amazing.
I always enjoy when you share that story, Michael.
So let's check in with Dr. Kim.
Sure, he's here.
That's amazing. It's amazing, and actually the two people who we had, you know, whenever we do the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, it's always a free open workshop, and the way the door opened was there's a woman who was a guard at the prison in Coldwater, which was near the facility that we did the intensive at, was a facility called, in a town called Hodunk, Michigan, believe it or not. And she heard about this previous workshop and came to it. And then she invited us to the prison, and her husband participated. He was also a guard, and he was the intake person. They're now retired. I actually just talked to them about 3 weeks ago. They live down near us in Missouri or Arkansas. But he was the intake officer for every prisoner that came through that facility. And for until the point where he retired, so for 20 years, every person who came through the intake process in Coldwater Prison was handed a worksheet and told where the book was, where they could go and work with it and study it and change their lives. So it's, you know, I'm just...
hopefully you're breathing and not just losing your cell signal.
Oh, I'm breathing. No. I'm breathing, and it's just so overwhelmingly gratifying.
Now, if somebody else said that, you would be on them to say it's not overwhelming.
They have the privilege to do this.
Tim, you read my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear, Michael? Your regulatory speech said that it is overwhelmingly gratifying.
I heard you loud and clear. I got it.
All right.
Tim, how was your...
I got it loud and clear, and I am overwhelmed. Go ahead,
Michelle. You're resonating gratitude that I have in me as well, and I have great gratitude for having been introduced to these tools and to be able to be on the team and on a weekly basis and often on a daily basis, getting to share the tools with others and see transformations in their lives as they tap into what's really true about them and they dismantle some of the old false realities and limited perceptions that have left them feeling something less than love. So is your breath restored, Michael?
I am. I'm back.
Something more you want to
I'm
share
actually
on that?
I'm thinking about a journey that I made out to Arizona several years ago. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It sounds like you've lost me.
No, you're there. Can you hear us?
So, am I there now? Okay. So
yes, you're here.
So the next thought that comes up with that is, and it's something that I've done some work on over the years, but I was in Arizona about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and they showed a video. I was in a major, major healing crisis. In fact, to the point where the people that I was staying with really were seriously concerned, and they thought I was sick and going to die. And I said, well, no. I was almost dead 3 or 4 times from this in the first year of my life, and I'm just going through another layer of it. It's safe. I'm okay. I'm quite all right. But after about a week of that level of detoxification of my lungs, they got a video that they showed of a woman who, as a small child, 3 or 4 years of age, had been standing on the other side of a campfire when her brother threw gasoline on the fire and was just really, really badly disfigured. And she was sharing the abuse that she receives from people, going into a mall and having teenagers come up and spit on her, And it's the only time in all the years I've done this work. I'm committed. If I'm doing this 200, 300, 500, 800 years from now, I'm happy. I'm committed to delivering it until every mind, heart, and being on the planet gets it. But the people who I had rented a car on that occasion, and the people who were hosting me actually lived in a different city. They had an apartment and where they housed me, and they didn't have a car, so I got up out of this healing crisis and took them to the grocery store. And I was sitting in the parking lot just breathing and being with what was going on, and this just huge grief-stricken cry came out of what appeared to be nowhere, saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to get out of here. I want to go back to where people treat each other as human beings. It was a momentary experience for me, but it was just a deep, anguished pain that came up in me, and it really was part of resolving on this level to whatever it takes, it doesn't matter, to make this available, because there's so much inhumanity going on in the world. And so when I hear you and Rex serving Michelle in the prison and the dedication that it takes and the changes that are being made, and I hear from people all over the globe who are making a contribution, who are doing something to change the game, and I say this with the hope to inspire anyone else who's listening who hasn't done it yet to start to move forward in taking what you know of this work, however little or however much, and taking it to the around you. The planet is in such crisis at this point in terms of human relationships, in terms of planetary security, that those who know that something can be done, it's time for them to invest their time, their intelligence, their money, and their energy in doing it if they want a place for their children and their children's children to grow up. And for me, that's one of my motivators. I really want a safe, secure environment that holds liberty for my children's children and their future. And right now, the way things are going, that's not what's happening on the planet. There are people who live in a fantasy world of, oh, things are getting better, and the truth is, at this point, yes, there are circles where things are getting better, but overall, the people who are keeping statistics say that that's not accurate in terms of the way humans are interacting on the planet. We need more people to dedicate something of themselves to bringing human life to Earth in terms of their own process and introducing the people around them to the how-to of doing that. So that's an invitation to everyone. So Dr. Tim, what's happening in your world today? Any themes, anything to share?
Well, we had our Tuesday night support group last night, and we watched the first part of An Introduction to A Course in Miracles with Advanced Understanding, and it really opened up some eyes to the idea that it's quite possible that we have a very limited perception of the world we're living in, and that limited perception is resulting in all of the pain and fear and sadness and anger that we're experiencing. So it led to a stimulating discussion, and then it led to a testimonial or two, and then it led to a worksheet. And someone did a worksheet on, I think it was very instructive. There were two relatively new people in the group, and this worksheet process, the woman said, well, I thought I should do a worksheet tonight because the past few days I've been feeling so bad. It was an intense pressure like I wanted to die. But right now I just don't feel anything, so I'm not sure that there's any need for me to do a worksheet. But we went ahead and stepped her through the worksheet process, and in so doing, we got to demonstrate how you can start the worksheet process anywhere. And so she started it with this pressure she was feeling. Oh, I'm sorry, she started it with the event that happened, which right at that point last night she was saying she didn't feel any pressure about, didn't feel any upset about it. And then we had her step back to the last 3 days and what she was feeling, and what she said was, well, there's not really an emotional word for what she was feeling, but she was feeling this extreme pressure. So we had her write that down in the space for the feeling. And then we talked about the thought she was using that was creating that extreme pressure. And when she got to that thought, that's when the tears started. And that's when the emotions started to flow. And it uncorked the whole thing. And those thoughts were about how she should be able to do something to change the situation. So then she realized that it was herself who needs to go in 1A. And then the whole worksheet just flowed, and she went from a level 10 upset to a level 2 upset at the end. And she had, as I think, four, maybe five other worksheets we identified on the path that she needs to do to keep working at that set of issues. But she was feeling tremendously relieved and different at the end of the worksheet process, and had tapped into several different realizations about what the issues really were. It wasn't, you know, the original event wasn't the real issue. The real event was her long-held family issues about trying to please everybody. And it was just an honor to be there and to support her and to have that fabulous energy of that group and hear some more testimonials from people about how they're benefiting from that group. So that's what I have to share. If you have any inclination whatsoever to participate in or start a support group, please do. Please do. Are you with us, Michael? Are you with us, Michelle?
Yes, Dr. Tim, I'm here.
All right. Is Michael still on the board?
Yes, he is. It looks like there's no interruption there. Well, Dora's been waiting for a while. How about checking in with her for the Breakthrough Wednesday?
Sounds great.
All right, Dora.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Same for you. We're on our Unstuck Breakthrough Wednesday. I had a word that I've been, you know, saying for so long now, and the word was freedom, and I never really paid much attention to it. So I did a mind shifter over the weekend, and it's like opened up so many doors. It was unbelievable. And so I got a lot of worksheets out of it, but it really brought me to a deeper level. And so that one word really had a lot of meaning, has a lot of meaning. I saw what I was doing with the guys at work, you know, with my boss and everything, and everything came out of that one word, freedom. And it was something that's in my DNA. It goes back to, you know, past lives for me. And it was really pretty powerful. So I was happy that I finally just stopped and focused on that word. And so I was able to clear out, and then I come into work, and I, of course, just kind of shift. And I'm, you know, my energy changes, and I interact differently with the men, and so it's all, you know, always a plus. So that's my little breakthrough for Wednesday. Any comments, Michelle?
Well, that's beautiful. It's very powerful. And I was still resonating all week with the story you told last week about someone who said it's unstuck and breakthrough, and they fed those words to you after you had had the discussion here. So I think you're right on track.
Most definitely. Most definitely. She had seen that for myself. I came in this time to clear out issues, to heal as much as I can, and that's just what I do. Excuse me. I've been doing it for a long time now, and I find myself, I have to stop because I say, well, you know, look what this person does or look what that person does, and then I have to remind myself that jealousy, I don't need any of that, that I came in here this time to clear, to become unstuck and to break through. For whatever we have to do, whatever's coming, I need to be conscious, and so do all of us. And then it kind of puts me back into place, and I, you know, I'm okay with my little job and, you know, and my little apartment and whatever. It's all okay. 'Cause there's a bigger picture, and it's a bigger picture for all of us. So this work is very powerful. And
Well, what you're saying there reminds me of a line from the video last night. And Michael quotes in that video from A Course in Miracles where it says something to the effect of, deceive yourself no longer that you are a victim of circumstances in your life. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and the effects of your mistakes will disappear. And as you're talking about wanting to come in here or realizing that you're here to work on certain things, the culture would teach us that we were a victim of downsizing, or we were a victim of rape, or we were a victim of physical abuse. And one of the things that's been very powerful for me and other people I've worked with recently is to just change the wording on that. And instead of saying, I've been a victim of this, to say, I have experienced a rape. I have experienced physical abuse. I've experienced losing my job to downsizing. And just that shift out of the victimhood belief system increases my options for response a thousandfold. And my hat's off to you, Dora, for continuing to do this work and to put the challenge out there for other people to get unstuck and break through the barriers so that more of us can literally stay consciously aware of our true nature as love more and more often throughout every day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I thought that was very nice, and I like that word. I like the way you phrased that, experience. I could feel that that was right. You know, kind of feel there a little shift there. So that was pretty powerful. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Well, everyone, have a good week. And
Dora.
I'm Michelle. Yes, I'm
Dora.
Yes.
When I was listening to you talk at the end there, what came to mind is underestimating yourself. In my experience, you are very powerful and committed, and your integrity with the work is moving, touching, and inspiring. And I guess I see you as a role model.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I needed to hear that today. Thank you.
No, you just, you know, you get a challenge and then you take it on. You're not a shrinking violet. How would
Thank
I say
you.
It? Not a shrinking violet. But yeah, no, I adore you. That's why your name's Dora, maybe, huh?
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, well, everybody have a good week. I shall return to work now and look forward to talking to everybody next Wednesday. Take care.
Thank you, Dora.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Dora, the blossoming violet. The blooming
Much better.
Violet. So do we have anybody else with a hand up or some message from the chat room that we should be addressing?
Well,
I'm here with a hand up. Need it back again. My phone crashed. Technology, what can I say?
Welcome back.
In any event, congratulations to Dora. Another layer of work. That's pretty awesome. And, you know, it's I think, a good space to remember the power person dynamic, and that as long as one is functioning out of carbon-based memory, then they are absolutely, totally, completely 1,000% run by their power person dynamic, and the replicant mind simply plays out the thing over and over and over again. And once I wake up to that I'm being controlled by that, and, you know, people talk about, well, I'm not going to do what my mother did. I'm not going to do what my power person did. And they don't realize that in reaction to I'm not going to do it, that they're doing exactly the same thing, still being controlled by the same dynamic. And to realize if one who looks over their lives, if they've got hostility and fear going on, just take a look at, when the stress is up and the chips are down, your behavior. And your behavior is exactly what your power person did, or a reaction to it. And so if the power person was critical and vicious, then out comes the vicious tongue. But one defines that in their minds as, oh, no, I'm just defending myself. And so that lie in the mind allows truth to be blocked, that they're replicating or playing out exactly what the power person did. And so to realize that as long as we're functioning out of carbon-based memory, there are really only three possible behaviors, and it's all related to levels of stress. And when there's no stress, we'll do what we did with our power person. When stress starts to build, we'll do what we did to resist and survive with the power person. That you hated the most. And that's what runs the mind of virtually everyone. Some people are strong enough to refrain from behaving or externalizing that disturbance. Some people are strong enough to do that. However, mind energy still runs within the system and creates for most people a struggle. And so if you recognize that in yourself, then all you do is start to forgive. As to your power person dynamics and the struggle to go against it. And, you know, with that, you can change the game. So that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to bring to planet Earth. So anything else to share from the support group last night, Tim?
No, I would just say that once again it resonates my gratitude for those loving people who give up whatever they're giving up on a Tuesday evening to drive some considerable distances and some less far, but to spend the time in a focused work like that, trying to understand new concepts and supporting people who go through lots of sadness and tears and upset, and people who are willing to do that on a weekly basis and create that space. It's an honor to be associated with that group of people.
For sure. I'm in full agreement on that one. Well, Michelle, is anything happening in the chat room, or do we have anybody with a hand up?
Nobody has a hand up right now. But there's a lot going on in the chat room. Just seeing if people are willing to have me elevate that to the show right now. So I guess we're quiet for a minute here.
Okay, well, let me just say that if you're on one of those radio stations that we don't have access to through our control panel, then we'd invite you to pick up the phone and call us at 646-200-4169 and directly ask your question. What's on your mind? How can we support you? How can we support you in taking these tools and integrating them into your life? And for those who perhaps haven't touched any of the tools yet, are new to the show, you can go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, or there's actually in the center of the page, a bullseye, a red and white bullseye. If you click that bullseye, it will give you the whole story. It will start you right from the beginning on how to integrate and utilize the reality management worksheet. There are 6 different radio shows where we walk somebody through the whole forgiveness process. It takes time to build the brain cells for the ridiculousness of the Aramaic process of forgiveness. Because according to the world mind, which of course is everything backward, the process of forgiveness as presented in the Aramaic is backward. And so most people are like, well, this is ridiculous. Why would I do this? It's, well, tell you what, give it a try, watch what happens. And it is the most amazing thing you will ever watch happen when you actually engage in it. Now, when we play the game of somebody else is the problem in my life, well, yes, I have been through this 87 different times with 42 different people, but I still believe it's their fault. This is number 43, and it's their fault. Like, sooner or later, you got to start to get honest with yourself. Get off the pit pot and say, maybe because I'm the one who's experiencing this over and over and over again, and I'm the one who's feeling it. Maybe I'm involved in my own life. Maybe it's time for me to start to take some responsibility. And what the worksheet does is it empowers you to put that to work in your life. And then there are, we've got now better than 3 years of archives of radio shows. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations out there to support you. Some just absolutely monumental conversations and material that's been covered. Dr. Tim, Michelle, and Jeannie, and myself, it's just mind-boggling when you start listening. So we invite you to go download those. They're free, you know, hundreds of hours of free material to walk through how that forgiveness process operates. And we're here to support you with it. So if you've got a question, if you put one, that will raise your hand in the control panel. If the hand goes up in the control panel, then Michelle will look and say, aha, announce your area code, and we'll get to chat with you. So if you have a comment, a thought, question, we'd love to hear it. That's what makes the show really work. If Tim and I and Michelle were sitting in an auditorium where we'd just done a presentation that included the material that we've just covered, what would be your question for us? And what we prefer to have is specific, crisp questions that focus on this work. There are lots of other things out there, all kinds of things that people can engage in. But my take is that if you're not showing a person how to collapse the projections of their own minds and putting them directly in touch with what they've perhaps been hiding from themselves or has been hidden in their genetic bloodline for eons, then what you're doing with all that interesting, stimulating, mystical stuff, et cetera, is you're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. If you don't get the core work done, the rest of it is a waste of time. And so we invite you to ask your question, see how we can support you with this awesome process of forgiveness. Have we seen anything of Rex yet? Has he joined us?
No, Missy's listening, but Rex isn't here. Actually, Mike, I was just thinking of something from our Mind Shifter support group last night. We had two new women join our group, and we went through the worksheet process. Tony was facilitating, and so it was brand new to this woman, and, you know, I was a participant in listening and adding my two cents where I could. Actually, I just counted up the months. It's like a baby. I'm at 9.5 months gestation from meeting you and Jeannie back in May of 2013. And when we were doing this worksheet yesterday,
cool.
I you know the box on the right where you draw your feelings? I'm sure you remember that one, right? So traditionally, I've gone through and read it and then, like, check. I release and surrender, my 1A, check, my feelings, check, thoughts, check. And when Tony was explaining it to the lady, he actually encouraged her and taught her to go back and refer to the 1A and say that, like, I release my husband, and then the story, and then repeat that story. Okay. So it was the first time I had ever heard it.
That's how it's designed to be used.
Yep. So I just kind of chuckled because that was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I never heard, you know, it never came up before, at least to my awareness, right? And so it was nice because, like, wow, that's true. You just keep getting deeper and deeper cuts and more fully embrace and embody and the nuances of the worksheet. And here's my regulatory speech on purpose. I hate to admit that I'm liking it now.
Well, we'll support you doing worksheets on hate.
Right. So, listen, your neighbor's on
that's
the phone.
That's a good energy to be capable of. Yeah, I'd like to say hello. Is this Magda?
No, actually, Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hey, hi, Michelle. How are you?
Pretty good.
Oh, cool.
Nice to hear you.
Nice to hear you, too. I do have a question.
Welcome, young lady.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Cool.
My question is, you know, I've done, you know, quite a few intensives, and I understand the definition of personal code. And I can remember you teaching personal code and Dan McDougall teaching personal code. However, when I was listening to your DVD, Healing Through Relationships, I think I heard you say, and I want to language it that way because I know sometimes I think I heard something and I didn't really hear it the way it was really said. So I think I heard you say that our personal code is built out of some of the worst behaviors. Is that accurate?
Well, for a person who has not reviewed their own personal code and consciously created one, then what tends to run them is their power person dynamic. Their personal code has integrated and required that the things that their power person did to them, which, you know, when we define a power person, by definition, a power person is someone who is not functioning as love, who is not functioning as a human being, so tends to contain some pretty aberrant behaviors. And so for a person who hasn't reviewed and started to adjust their personal code, it oftentimes is made up of some of the worst behaviors possible, especially when the stress is up and the chips are down, because they go right back to what that power person did that they disliked and hated. Most people's personal code is an unconscious product of whatever energies they've integrated in their lives. The whole idea of doing the work is to upgrade the personal code so that it automatically guides us to the best behaviors instead of the worst. But a person who's not done that, generally speaking, when the stress is up and the chips are down, that's where the personal code goes, is to the worst.
I understand what you're saying. I also think it would be important for people to understand that this is an unconscious dynamic. It's pretty much automatic.
Yes. Yes. And what we're, of course, looking to do is to support people in making the unconscious decisions that have resulted in personal code conscious and starting to replace those decisions with choices and building a conscious personal code instead of functioning out of an unchosen and unconscious personal code.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to hear your information. Appreciate it.
Cool. And, you know, one of the things I really appreciate about you is that you went into those kids who came out of, you know, I remember you sharing how some of these kids, the only meal they would get would be the school meal, and how you really gave them the space to develop a personal code that was based in love rather than based in some of the poverty and the hostility and fear that they were raised under. That's a pretty awesome contribution. I still would like to see one of these days following up with those kids' research, other kids raised in the same school without your input, and see where their lives are. I think it would be an awesome piece of research.
You were kind of cutting out on that, so, you know, maybe you could say it again?
Sure. I was saying that I would love to see a research project done with the kids that you gave the tools to, that you gave the opportunity for them to develop a conscious personal code instead of the one they were raised with, the ones of poverty and fear and hostility that was so prevalent in your classrooms. And I think it would be an awesome research project. Go back, see where those kids are now. You know, some of those kids, what's that? You're going back when you started doing this to 20, 22, 23 years ago. So some kids are now in their 30s. It'd be interesting to see where this 30-year-old young man is today compared to somebody who is in one of those other grade one or kindergarten classrooms. And just overall, I think it would be an awesome research project and would really tell a tale.
Well, I certainly hope that I was able to make a difference. And I'll say one thing, they made a difference in my life. Their participation in my life supported me looking at my life differently and how I was going to interact with them. So it was like a moment, just like what Michelle was describing in the jail. It's a moment of true interaction between myself and other individuals. And, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'll have to admit that there were times I wasn't too grateful. But if I look at everything, the stimulus of their interaction with myself gave me a wonderful opportunity to develop my conscious, viable spiritual body. And I was watching that DVD before the radio show. So I can see where their support of me, as support, you know, of me creating that conscious, viable spiritual body by stimulating in me what I haven't dealt with. So it's a wonderful interaction gift.
I hear that loud and clear. The intensive, you know, we've just got a small group, our first intensive here in Costa Rica. And as intimate a group as it is, I've actually never done an intensive for this small a number of people before. But the interaction and the energy that's moving is absolutely mindful. Pretty cool to be a part of, so I certainly hear you loud and clear.
And I was wondering about Dora.
If you
and
were,
her...
Julie, if you were to...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. There's a bit of a delay, but go ahead, please.
No, go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
Oh, I was just going to invite you to maybe share a little bit about the environment of the kids who were in your classroom in the inner city school and, you know, maybe one or two of the highlights of the changes that you saw, just so people get a taste of what can be done with children at the kindergarten and grade one level. I remember the intensive that you did at Heartland last year and several years ago, and Adam, who was four, was in his stuff as a four-year-old, and we came out, and his nine-year-old sister was doing a worksheet with him. To me, that's the kind of highlight stuff that's just amazing.
There are, and you know, there are many things that, you know, I could share. I think one of the key things about my classroom was I created quite a few behavior problems being put in my classroom. And these were problems where teachers would have difficulty coping with the behavior. And so what happened when I started teaching the children the personal code of the commitment, they put that to memory, and in time, it takes time to reinforce, but in time, their behavior started to change. And why? It's because they liked the way they felt. They liked the way they interacted with others. They liked the way others interacted with them. And they really want to live differently. I think we all want to live differently. We just don't know how. But I think that when with children, they are open and receptive to living differently. And if you model it, which is what I did the best I could to model it, then they are even more receptive because I'm not just saying the words. Often people say the words and they want the children to go by the words, but they are unwilling to be the words. Biggest change I think that I saw is when I saw children actually incorporating what I was teaching, apply it to themselves, and change the behavior, such as walking in the halls. They would say, we're supposed to walk in the halls. And we stopped all labeling of good, bad, right, or wrong, smart, not smart, smart, dumb. All that was changed in the room. We were either on target or we were off target. That totally, that just, that simple dynamic totally changed the energy within the room. And so if I noticed that they were following the rules, they were on target. I supported them being on target by saying, I notice you're on target following the rules. That gave them personal power to take hold of their life. If you teach them personal power, they will apply it. And I think that was probably one of my biggest gifts, to see that happen, to actually see my class one day take over the classroom from about 8 o'clock in the morning to almost 10:45. They were without a teacher, and they totally went to breakfast. They took their lunch tickets, the breakfast tickets. They handed everything out. They passed out their work, their folders, and they were following the day's agenda without a teacher. To me, that was seeing the work happen where a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, and 7-year-old took total responsibility for their life without anybody guiding them. And they were all on target.
Michael?
I'm not sure he's there.
Well, we're here. We can hear you, Julie. That was wonderful.
I love hearing you tell the story. It's great.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Can I add something to Dora? I love having that Wednesday opportunity. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, the unstuck is still stuck, and then the breakthrough is still break. I was wondering if, because what she does for me is, whenever I hear her, it's like she's insightful. It's an insightful Wednesday. She's sharing her insights, what she has learned during the week, how she's empowering herself. And I just wondered if that would be another word we could use, but I'm willing for any of the words she chooses, because I liked having her show up on Wednesday. It's absolutely wonderful.
Well, she went back to work. She's off the switchboard for now, but maybe we can talk about it next Wednesday.
Yeah. The only reason is, somebody always focused on the word break. They always wanted to break, and they always wanted to break. They ended up smashing themselves into a window, actually, and breaking their shoulder and their arm pretty badly. So the focus was on, you know, I just really need to break. I just really need to break. She always said that regulatory speech. And so I was just going to share just another thought of regulatory speech, because she is sharing her insights, and I like hearing them, just like you, Tim, just like you, Michelle.
Yeah, she's persistent.
Absolutely. And so are you.
Ask Rex.
It's a good trait. It's a good trait.
Michael, did you get back on yet?
Well, anyway, I will turn the show back to you, and it was a pleasure joining you.
Thanks, Julie. Great to hear from you.
You too. Bye-bye.
So, Michelle, take it away.
Well, in the chat room, Jeannie is asking me if he's unmuted, and it's so funny, on the switchboard, his phone number shows up 3 times, and they're all live mics, so I don't know what else to do to help. A little birdie told me, Dr. Tim, that they find it very affirming to watch you do the worksheets and move through your emotions in company with the support group.
a little anonymous birdie. Well, that's someone's mic should get muted quickly. Someone who doesn't know that they're all on mic.
Well, wait, what do you mean? Really?
Yeah, as in bathroom sounds. We don't need bathroom sounds on the radio show.
Okay.
It's not that.
Well.
It's not that we're in denial about bathroom sounds. But we just treat them as though they're private. They're not, it's not a secret that everybody has to use the bathroom, but it's a private time.
Okay. Well, I think we've got about 5 minutes left, and Sunny popped in, so let's say hi to her. I'll keep trying to look to have Michael call back, and I'll reestablish him as soon as I can. Sunny?
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, we just have a couple minutes.
Yeah, it just occurred to me in hearing it again is the personal code evaluation, can knowing more about that, since I really don't know what that means, having not, don't have that video, haven't been to that particular workshop, does that really help us get unstuck in the worksheet process, if that's maybe where I feel stuck sometimes in
my
worksheet?
Okay, so let me just tell you something about the word you're using.
Uh-huh.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the personal code and the personal code evaluation are two very different things.
Okay.
The personal code is this unseen, it's this invisible group or constellation of beliefs and driving energies within me that dictate to me how I respond in any given situation in life. And a personal code is formed by everyone. And I might have a code that dictates that when I see somebody who's in pain, I run over and try to help. I might have a part of my personal code that dictates when anybody comes at me in anger, I get defensive and attack them back. I might have a personal code that dictates when somebody comes at me in anger, I cower and get submissive and try to satisfy their needs and wants at the risk of my own. These are just automatic patterns that get resonated in me and get activated in me, and everybody has them. Because we know this happens, we have the ability as humans, unlike animals, to consciously develop a set of rules that we want to live our lives by. And if we practice them, we can establish a new personal code. And Michael's commitment tool that's available on the website is just one example of a personal code that people can adopt for themselves into their relationships. And the personal code evaluation is this assessment device that Michael has developed that people go through at the beginning and the end of an intensive. So we'll leave it with that, and we'll ask people to come back again tomorrow and give the world a tremendous gift by having the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Wright, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.